You're listening to the Parkside Baptist Church podcast for Sunday morning, January 13th. Dr. Mike Wells preaches a message entitled, Pressing Toward the Mark.
Ladies, hey, don't forget tonight we have Vision Night. Vision Night is a thing that we do once a year, and you'll get to see some slides that shows you the vision for 2013. God has been very good to us, not just in our church growing the way it is, and balconies filling up, and the ground floor getting fuller and fuller, and so that's exciting what God is doing, and you'll get to hear how many people have joined the church. You'll get to see, of course, how many tracts was passed out this past year. You'll get to see classes that was added about the East Wing over here, that we have completely redone the East Wing and redoing the Lone Star Baptist College offices and other offices, and the hallway, the bathrooms out here have been redone, the lobby area in front of the bookstore totally redone, all the hallways back here has been redone, and we already have the money. Praise the Lord. We already have the money to redo the lobby out here, so that'll be next. And then we're going to take up commitments, and we'll have opportunity to be able to give, to be able to move into the auditorium, and to be able to remodel the auditorium. So a lot God has done. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised. And God has just been so very good to us, and we're expecting nothing less but yet greater things in 2013, and we want you to be a part of that, to be able to come and to be able to see the vision for 2013, and you'll get to see the slide presentation tonight about that. You'll enjoy it. It'll be a different type of service than you've been to, but you're going to enjoy it immensely to be able to see what is all going to happen. That's at 6 o'clock tonight, and so you try to be here to be a part of that tremendous service there. Philippians chapter 3 and in verse 14, here the Apostle Paul is really describing his life, where he says, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And we're going to talk this morning about pressing toward the mark. Pressing toward the mark. I remember when I was coming up as a young man, I lived in Maryland, and we would drive over, me and Wade Wagner, my best friend, we would go over, it was called the barn, and we would go into the barn, and as we go into the barn, it was a weight gym is what it was, and we go into that weight gym that was called the barn, and we go 3 times a week, we go on Mondays, we go on Wednesdays afternoon toward the evening time, we go on Fridays 3 times a week, and we go in that barn and we'd work out. I remember to this day laying on that bench press, and I was laying there, and we put that weight on there, and Wade would stand over top of me. We called him spotters, and he would stand over top of me, and I would press it. We'd try to get so many reps out of it, and press it, and press it, and press it, and Wade would be standing there, and it seemed like the energy was all gone, and Wade would start hollering at me. He'd say, press it, you can do it, press it, you can do it, press it, you can do it, come on, push it harder, push it harder, and I'd get it up, and finally, I thought, man, that's it, and then I'd drop it back down, and he'd start yelling at me again. Press it. I thought, man, I just did. And he'd say, press it, press it, press it. I'd finally get it up. And then when I couldn't get it up any farther and I was about to strangle because it's getting ready to come down across my neck or across the top of my chest, Wade would grab that and he would pick it up. But you know what he would do? He would take it and put one finger under each side, and that's how he would do to say, you know, when all of a sudden it started to fall, that one finger wasn't helping me a bit. You know, but he put that one finger underneath there and he said, come on, press it, press it. You can do it. I'm helping you. And he said, press it, press it. And you know, I'd get that thing up and then come back down. He'd put 2 fingers under it or 3 fingers under it. And he would get as much out of me as he possibly could because he taught me to press on. And did you know the Bible talks here? Matter of fact, I was talking to Brother Smell out in the hallway right before we came in. We have always prayer before we come in. And I was talking to Brother Smell. I said, do you ever hear of the word mulligan? Mulligan in golf playing? Mulligan? Have you heard about that, Brother Wilson? How many golf players do we have here? You play golf, raise your hand. Okay. Have you guys heard of that? Mulligan? Okay. That's where you get to go over again. That's what it is. You get to go over again. And so, you know, you get to take that ball back to the tee and go all over again. You know what? The good thing about 2013, 2012 is gone. 2013 is right upon us, and we're in it. And what could it be? It could be a mulligan. You get to go over again. You get a second chance. You get a second try, if you will, to be able to do it and to do it right. And the Apostle Paul is speaking here, and he says, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Now, there needs to be a press. Let me give you some things. We're going to dissect this verse today. I'm going to give you just five things to consider. We'll go over them in such a way you'll be able to grasp them, take them home, and be able to chew into them real good. Statement number one, I want you to see this. He says, I. Boy, isn't that deep? He says, I. What's that mean? That means it's personal. That means it's personal. He said, I press toward the mark. So any mark that you have in your life has to be personal. You know, the Bible says some comparing themselves among themselves are not wise. You can find that in your personal life. You can find that in your family life. You can find that in your business life. You can find that in your church life. You start comparing yourself to somebody else, you're always either going to come up on the short side of life or you're going to come up looking pretty good, really depending who you pick to compare yourself to. Now, the Bible talks about when we press toward the mark, it's not talking about comparing yourself to someone else. When God talks about pressing towards the mark, it's a very personal press. It's the thing that God has spoke to your heart about. Understand that when he says I, he knows who he's talking about. He knows his background. He knows where he came from. He knows what God has delivered him from and what God has delivered him to. And so because of that, he makes it very personal here. In the letter here to the Philippians, you'll see this. You'll see that he begins to describe his very pedigree. He begins to describe himself. He's the Hebrews of the Hebrews. He's that one that is the Pharisee of the Pharisees. He's the one that he looks at himself and he knows himself. He evaluates himself, and nobody could press you harder or stretch you more than yourself. You may have a boss and he thinks that he can get everything out of you that he can get out of you. He may think, well, I tell you what, you'll never be able to produce more than this. Or he may say your limitations are this, thus, and so. But to be honest with you this morning, nobody knows you like you know you. Your wife does not know you like you know you. Your husband does not know you like you know you. Your children or your parents do not know you like you know you. So the Apostle Paul is making a personal appeal here. He's making a personal appeal to himself. He's saying, look, I just want you to know there's something that I am going to do. By the way, if you're going to compare yourself to anybody, compare yourself to yourself. Look at the potential that God has given you and ask yourself the question, with the potential that God has given you, have you reached your God-given potential in 2012? Look at yourself and ask yourself the question, if I did not reach my God-given potential in 2012, could it be within the possibility of me being able to reach my God-given potential in 2013? Ask yourself the question, could I do more for God? Could I be more yielded to God? Could I spend more time in my Bible? Sometimes I think here's what we do, and I'm all for goals. I think we ought to have goals. We're a goal-oriented society. We're a goal-oriented church. We're goal-oriented people that sit inside this room. Now, wait a minute. Watch this, if you will. But if you're not careful, what you can do, you can be so goal-oriented in a wrong perspective or a wrong way that you beat yourself up all the time. Somebody came to my office and said, preacher, I tell you what, this past year, I only read my Bible this much, and told me how many days it was, this much. I didn't beat him up. I said, the two ways to look at it. You can say, I only read my Bible this much this year. Oh, go ahead, go out and kick yourself all the way through 2013. Or you could say, you know, if I read my Bible two more days than what I read it last year, that was victory. See, we live in an all or nothing society, do we not? Either we're all the way in or we're all the way out. Doesn't need to be that way. How about taking just one more step for God? How about just saying, I can edge up just a little bit more? Hey, I was this faithful to church last year, but in 2013, I can be this faithful to church. I read my Bible last year this amount, but I can add one more day. I can add two more days. I can add three more days. Hey, I can do a little bit better in 2013 than I did in 2012. See, here's what he's doing. He's looking at himself. He said, there's an I here. There's a person involved. It's personal to me, all right? So the goals that we have, if we're going to achieve them in 2013, has to be personal goals. Now watch what he says. He said, I press. The word press means this. It means pursue. It means to follow after. It means to press forward. Most of the times when you see the word press in your Bible, it's mentioned 43 different times in the New Testament, 43 different verses in the New Testament. Out of those 43 different verses that's mentioned in the New Testament, the word press is equated most of the time with persecution. So it's a person that's under persecution. Now, there is some verses in the Bible that God uses the word press as far as using the term that we used a moment ago, to pursue. To follow after, to press on. Let me tell you what those verses are. The book of Philippians chapter 3 and in verse 6, the Bible says, concerning zeal, persecuting the church. So the Apostle Paul, that's who we're talking about, knew what it was before salvation to press. He knew what it was before the day of his redemption, before he became a believer in Christ. He had the character to be able to say, I'm going to press. All right, he pursued. What did he do? He pursued Christians. He pressed towards those. He put them under persecution. Isn't it amazing that the same people that have character before salvation, if they will allow God, God can use the same character that they had before salvation after salvation. See, what happens is a transformation of the soul. What happens is when you receive Jesus Christ as Savior, God gave you eternal life. Nobody else has given you eternal life. Nobody else was that good to you. Nobody else rescued you from the fires of hell. So could it be that in 2013, we could say, well, if I am pressing towards this much in my world affairs, could I not at least equate my pressing for God in my spiritual affairs? Could I not put God on the same level, if you will, as my pursuit of happiness and my pursuit of riches? Could I not put God on the same level as that? By the way, would it not be better to put God on a greater level than that? He said, I, talking about personal, he said, I press. Let me give you another verse that talks about the pursuing or the following after or the pressing forward. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 12, talking about the Apostle Paul. He says, not as though I've already attained. It says, either were already perfect, but I follow after. All right, so he said, before salvation, I knew what it was to press. He said, now that I am saved, I'm following after. I'm pressing in that direction. Oh, listen to it as he gets, if you will, just a little bit older as this verse comes into play. He says, I press toward the mark. Says for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. All right, we use illustrations sometimes. Two guys in the center. Come here, if you will. Here's what happens. All right. When a person gets, for a person's salvation, Ben, you're not saved. Come over here. All right, so a person that is not saved, they have all the things in the world that they do. Just pretend you're doing something, I don't care what. Hammer, hammer, hammer. There you go, hammer. Got all the things in the world that he's doing. He's pressing. He's got a job. He's got money coming in. He's got bills. Reality has hit him cold in the face. He's pressing. All right, wait a minute. All of a sudden now, here comes another man working beside him doing the same thing. One man gets saved, the other man doesn't. The man that gets saved starts to look towards Christ. Stand up, hold your Bible, starts to look towards Christ. Now he still has to work. But yet he's saying, I've got somebody else that's involved in my life. I got somebody else I'm going to put in a place in my life. He has no place for Christ. Looks at himself as a self-made man. trying to accomplish the things, the affairs of this world, trying to find happiness, peace, riches, comfortability, goals in life, going to have a house, have a car, have a wife, have family, that goals. Okay, that's it. This man all of a sudden gets saved and he said, wow, he said, something's different. Man, I tell you what, I remember going to church when I was a young person, didn't enjoy it. Went to church, boring. Went to church, boy, I tell you what, couldn't wait to get out. Now that I'm saved, it's different. Now I come to church and wow, preacher gets up and he says something and I understand it. It makes sense to me. Well, and now it seems like the more I obey God, more peace I've got. More I obey God, the more happy I am. So what does he do? He says, I still got to work. Still got a family to feed. I still got bills. I've still got all this stuff. I still got to work. But I tell you what, I'm going to bring Christ in my life. So he goes to church. Why? Because that's where he learns about Christ. Goes to church. Here's the Bible. And now wait a minute. He can decide anywhere he wants to in life to jump off. He can decide, okay, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to go to church a little bit. I'm going to go to church a little bit more than a little bit. I'm going to go to church a whole lot. He can decide where he jumps off. God's not beating him on the head. God's not saying, okay, I'll tell you what. No, God gave him a will. But I want to show you something. Where happiness is yielded obedience. So the more that he yields himself to Christ, yields himself to Bible truth, yields himself to the way to treat his wife and his kids and all that. Okay, the more he yields himself, hey, the happier he is. This guy working all by himself, arm of the flesh is failing him every single day. No Christ, no hope, no future. Facing all of his problems by himself. God's not going to answer his prayer. He don't even know God. But now this guy gets saved. Now it's not the God of the universe. It's his Father. Now he can go to his Father and say, Father, I've got trouble. Father, I need wisdom. Father, I need help. God, would you guide me? Would you help me? Would you direct me? Would you show me what to do, where to do, when to do, how to do? I totally yield myself to you. God, I am yours. And when he yields himself to God, what happens now? God can work in his life. God now works in his life. And as he's obedient, God gives him peace. God gives him joy. This guy, all of a sudden, hits his wrong nail. Says a bad word. Doesn't feel bad about saying the bad word. This guy hits his nail. Might think about the bad word, but doesn't say it. That's growth. It's growth. Or he says the bad word and says, oh, I shouldn't have said it. And he says, God, would you forgive me? Hey, that's growth. Now, he's not an angel. Never will be one. Ask his parents. But here's what happens. He's still working. He's still maintaining. But God's in his life. Now it's not like, oh, I got to go to church on Sunday night. Oh, bore. Well, I got to go to church because that preacher's going to get up and preach. Wow. No, it's like, man, what time's church start around here? Man, I can't wait. What time's it start? Now I'm going to grow just a little bit farther. I'm going to learn a little bit more about God's word. I can learn how to please God, obey God. I can learn how to get the blessings of God on my life. Can't wait. Just can't wait. And by the way, the more that the closer that he gets to God, the more he has a desire to get close to God. Look, I'm telling you, the Bible talks about how good God is, and there is nobody better than God. Well, I tell you what, my kids are getting too spiritual, preacher. They can't get too spiritual. Well, preacher, they're becoming too godly. They cannot become too godly. Well, preacher, I think that my kids are going to church and they're getting too much church. You cannot get too much church. Amen. The more you get of church, the more God can change your life. The more that God can change your life, the more you think like him, the more you think like him, the more you'll behave like him, the more you behave like him, the more blessings that come. If I were you in 2013, I would not unplug, I would replug. And watch this. Thank you. Be seated. He said, personal. He said, I. He said, I press. So it's not just a personal, I'm just I just exist. He said, no, I've got purpose. Here's my purpose. He said, I press. Oh, listen to this. He said, I press, toward the mark. So you have something personal. You've got something physical that he's doing. He's pressing. And you got something that, if you would please, that's precise. He's got a mark. It's precise. You ever go hunting with somebody or shooting a gun with somebody that does not know what they're doing? And you know what it does? For the person that you go gun shooting with and they do not know what they're doing, it creates a fear. Every year, I've been going to the Philippines for many years. I think this is my, 46th trip or so. Every year in January, I do a pastor's conference in Cebu. On Thursday, I'm going to go down. I'm going to board a plane. I'm going to fly over to speak at the pastor's conference. They're going to take off. Stay with me. They're going to take off with the plane. I have to trust that they know where they're going. I can't go up to the cockpit and say, wait a minute. Let's make sure you know how to fly this thing. First off, I don't know how to fly this thing. So I pray, and I hope that I wind up in the Philippines, not in some other country. Years ago, you remember this? Years ago, had a banker down in Florida, and he said, preacher, I've always wanted to take my son on a mission trip. I said, great, come with us. We'd love to have you come. He said, well, can you book everything? I said, look, always book everybody. I said, I'll book it. He said, okay, I don't know what happened. I don't know if it was a brain-dead moment. I have no idea. But he said, I've only got 1 week off. I'd like to go to the Philippines. I said, great. Back then, when I was in full-time evangelism, I'd go to these countries. I'd stay gone a month, month and a half, and I'd go to Philippines, Thailand, Cambodia. I'd just stay over there and just preach all these conferences because it was cheaper to go over and preach them than to go over, preach one, come back home, go over and preach one, come back home. Just cheaper to do it while you're there. And so I was in the middle of booking my ticket. And so I thought, I'm going to go ahead and enter the data. He can just go ahead and pay me. I called him up. I said, look, let me put on my credit card. You can pay me, if that's okay, after I book it. He said, sure. I don't know what happened. I had a large group, had 22, I think that year was the largest I had going. Had 22 that was going. And for some strange reason, I went brain dead. You ever do that? That's not good to do when you're holding a credit card. I went brain dead. And so I booked my ticket, Philippines. I was going to fly over to Cambodia, Phnom Penh. I was going to do a pastor's conference there. And so I booked his ticket along with mine. So now not only is he going to the Philippines, he's going to Cambodia. And you, when you get these cheap tickets, they're non-refundable. That's the way to go if you know what you're doing. It's one of these non-refundable tickets. And so I called him up. I said, brother, I think I made a mistake. Sorry. But not only are you going to the Philippines with me, I'm taking you to Cambodia. He said, preacher, I said, don't worry. I hear Cambodia is nice this time of year. But we felt bad. So Mrs. Wells and I, out of our bank account, we paid for their tickets. 2700 it cost me. Hey, that's a pricey, ouch. But it was my wrong, not his wrong. Now, what am I saying? I'm saying make sure that mark is precise. Make sure you know which way you're aiming before you click the pay button. Make sure you know which way to point the gun before you pull the trigger. Make sure that you have goals that are here. And by the way, listen to me. Once you have a goal in the scriptures, here's what you see. First, there was the goal, and then there was traveling to reach the goal. So first you set the goal. He said, I press toward the mark. Hey, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to set a mark out there. I was raised on a farm many years ago. I remember going down into we had a lot of property. I remember going down into the fields, and my grandmother said, look, I need you to go ahead and make that row so that we can plant. So I get on the tractor. We'd have, of course, the disc. We'd disc it, all that. Then we'd have the plows and stuff. And so we'd make the rows. One of the ways we kept the rows straight was to have a mark in front of us. Because if you turn, you may turn and the row go off. So what do we do in our Christian life? We get a mark in front of us. Hey, preacher, I can do this. Hey, preacher, I've got a mark. Hey, here's what I'm going to do. Hey, Paul said it's personal, it's physical, it's precise. I press toward the mark. But then he said, beyond the mark is a prize. Watch this. Here's what he says. Look at it in your Bible again. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 14. He said, I press toward the mark for the prize. So there's a prize behind or beyond the mark. Well, preacher, I'm trying, but it just doesn't seem like I'm going to make it. The reward is after you hit the mark. You ever go in a gun range or something and you shoot? And then somebody runs down, maybe one of your children, they run down and they get the marker and they bring it back. And the reward is the rejoicing that you hit the mark. And so in your life, if you aim right, it's better to aim right than not aim at all. Because if you aim right, you're more likely to hit the mark. Had a doctor friend in Mississippi, and I used to go over his house. We went over several times. My boys worked with their fencing and horses and stuff like that. My, I think the two older boys at that time, and they would go over. It might have been, was you doing that or two other guys? Not sure. But they would go over. They work with the fences. We work with the horses. And so my boys would go over there, and they came to our church down at Grace Independent Baptist Church where I came from before I was here. And so we would go over there sometimes. We'd go shooting down along the back of the property there. We'd set up all sorts of stuff. We'd put cans. We'd put a plastic thing. We would get up on the top of the hill, and we would shoot. Now, what we did is we made sure we aimed it that way because the barn and the horses was this way. We made sure that we shot in the right direction. And by the way, you know if you're shooting in the right direction. Well, preacher, I just feel like it's not right. If it doesn't line up with Scripture, I've got news for you, friend. It's not right. You make sure that you're shooting the right direction. Make sure that you're aiming the right direction. Paul said this. He said, it's personal. I know who I am. I know which direction I need to go. He said, I'm going to press. He got physically involved. He said, and I've got a mark in mind. So it was precise. He said, I pressed toward the mark. But then he said, for the prize. The prize is the productivity after you hit the mark. Watch this. 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 7, the Bible says, I fought a good fight. Paul, now an older man, getting ready to go home to see Jesus. He said, I fought a good fight. I've finished my course. I've kept the faith. Henceforth, there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give to me at that day. And it says, not to me only, but unto all them that love his appearing. So there was the productivity of saying, boy, I tell you what, I just want to stay true till Jesus comes. That's what I want to do. I'm going to run my course. And as you run your course, at the end of your life, you'll be able to rejoice looking back at your productivity, looking back at the prize that God has given you. Let me give you one more. He said, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. The high calling of God is very prestigious. God is the one that calls. I remember when I went to Bible college many years ago, had $35 in my pocket when I showed up. That was it, $35. All I knew is that God wanted me to go to Bible school. That's all I knew. Didn't know anything else. $35. I showed up, came in on a Greyhound bus, knew what God wanted me to do. I stepped out to obey the will of God. Went down to Bible college, 26 hours from my house. Went down to Bible college, got off the Greyhound bus, went in to be able to register, to be able to get into the college. And I never will forget, as I was sitting there in Bible college, the man of God would get up and he would say, "Finish it! Finish it!" Boy, he hit that pulpit, "Finish it!" And I thought, man, I guess I need to finish it. I mean, you know, I want him to have a heart attack. I guess I need to finish it. So I decided to finish what I started June 26, 1982. I'm sitting there, and all of a sudden, God started to speak to my heart about preaching. I did not want to preach. I wanted to be a police officer. I did not want to preach. I went to Bible college not to be a preacher. I went to Bible college so that I could learn more of God's word in a quicker fashion. That's why I went to Bible college. But I went to Bible college. God started speaking to my heart. As the beginning of June, kept speaking to my heart. June the 26th, I remember walking down an aisle. That night, we had about 1,500 to maybe 1,600 people that was in church. I remember walking down an aisle on a Sunday night, standing at the front and saying, "I believe that God has called me to preach." Now, wait a minute. Did you know before I surrendered to that prestigious, that call that God had in my life, I was eat up on the inside? Every time I'd eat my cereal and chew it, God was calling, "Michael, Michael." Every chew, "Michael, Michael." Lay on my bed, turn my head on my pillow, "Michael, Michael." I mean, everywhere I went, I'd be stepping. All of a sudden, I'd hit a leaf. It would crush, "Michael." I mean, everywhere. You know, God was just working in my heart. "Want you to preach, want you to preach, want you to preach." Man, just disturbing me. You know, you cannot outrun the Holy Ghost of God. Boy, and God just kept working and working. I thought, man, I tell you what. And so I walked forward that night. I surrendered to preach. I thought, this is it, man. I'm done. Yes. Now I can get about my life. I thought if you surrendered, God would get off your back. You surrender, you did what he told you to do. I surrender. I thought, now I surrender, he's not going to come after me anymore. But you know, when you surrender to do something, God, stay with me now, expects you to do it. So I thought, man, you know, I surrendered. God, what more do you want? Here's what more he wanted. He wanted me to do what I surrendered to. So I came forward, surrendered. I thought, wow, this is great. Never will forget. That was on a Sunday night. Never will forget. On Wednesday night, two guys came to my dormitory and they said, "You ready?" I said, "Ready for what?" They said, "You're preaching tonight." I said, "I'm not preaching tonight. The pastor's preaching tonight. You guys have lost your mind." They said, "No, you're going to preach at a rescue mission." I said, "I may need rescuing, but I'm not preaching in a rescue mission." They said, "Yes, you are. We've already got it all lined out. Let's go." Two guys grabbed me by the arms, one on each side. Other guy grabbed my Bible. They're ushering me down the steps. We lived on the third story of a building in the men's dorm. Ushering me down the steps. They had a car waiting outside. I'm being Christian mugged. Man, they got a car waiting outside, and they rushed me to the car. The guy that had the Bible threw my Bible on, I didn't even get to study. Threw my Bible on the dashboard of the car. One guy jumps in one side, other guy jumps in the other side. I'm crushed in the middle. I said, "Come on, guys, you're messing with me. You're teasing me. What are we doing?" He said, "You're preaching." I said, "I don't even have a message. You got my Bible? I don't know nothing." And they said, "Well, you'll be okay. God will use you." I said, "Well, give me my Bible." So they gave me my Bible. I'm sitting there trying to read. Got these big old guys on each side of me. Got this guy that doesn't know how to drive. We pull up in front of this rescue mission. We walk in. I tried to escape. It didn't work. Got inside the rescue mission. They took me up to the platform. They set me on the platform. And both the guys, one on one side, one on the other, put their hand on me. I didn't want to preach. Hello? The other guy gets up and he says, "We have a special speaker tonight. We're excited." They were the only ones excited. "We're excited. He just surrendered to preaching. God's going to use him." I thought, you're in for a shock. Found a verse in my Bible. I thought, man, this is better than anything else. Romans chapter 6 and verse 23. I read that verse. "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God's eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." I emphasized the word gift. I emphasized the word eternal life. I preached an entire message that they expected would last for 45 minutes and 10 minutes. You know, I saw that preachers shouted, and so I shouted, "That means you! The wages of sin is death! You're gonna die!" Boy, that was deep. The gift of God. God's got a gift for you. It's a gift. A gift. I had no idea what I was doing. He gave an invitation. Five men walked the aisle. Came to the front. I thought, what do you want? Stood at the front. Brother Moore, two of those guys were crying. The other two were just looking like, man, I need what you're saying. I said, I asked them. I walked down and said, "Hey, guys, what do you want?" And they said, "We want to get saved." I said, "Are you sure?" They said, "Yeah, we want to get saved." I said, "Tonight?" I said, "Yeah, right now." Turned to my friends and said, "Deal with them." They went down. They dealt with them. Hey, all five of them got saved. All the way back to the dorms, I was quiet. I was just sitting there, just thinking. God used me. High school, I stuttered, I stammered. You had to see me in high school. I was a number one mess. High school, I'd go up to ask a girl to go out with me. Forget it. I mean, I was just messed up. And now I'm going to get up and speak in front of people? Are you kidding me? Here's what happened. Riding back to the dorm that night, I was just quiet. Went to my dorm bed that night, got on my knees, and I said, "God, I've been all wrong about this, and I'm sorry." I wanted to be a police officer. I really did. That was my heart's desire. My daddy got mugged many years ago, worked at Maryland National Bank, had the beat picked out. I said, "Nobody will ever mug my daddy again. I'm going to protect my daddy." I just wanted to be a police officer. God had different plans. Hello? I want to ask you something. Does God have different plans for you in 2013? God had different plans. But when I went back to that dorm, Jonathan, I was crying, kneeling by my bed, and I said, "God, that's it. That's it." The other night I went forward, I surrendered publicly. Tonight, I surrender my heart. And I said, "I'll never look back. I will always do what you told me to do." Boy, and did you know, since then, hundreds of thousands of people have been saved. I've got over 3,000 men that have surrendered to preach under me since then. Hello? But what if I would have said, "I tell you what, I'm not going to do it. I'm just not, I've got my own plan. I've got my own life. And God, I'm telling you, you just don't have a part." What if I would have did that? Hello? See, it's personal. Well, teenager says, "I'm not going to serve God. Look at so-and-so. They're not serving God." God's concerned about you. Adult sits here, "Well, I'll tell you what, I'm not going to go to church faithful. It's hard. Man, my kids are disobeying. They're rebelling. They're not going to get up. I'm tired of messing with it. I can't make them obey." Might be you just need to set the example. "But preacher, I've tried and I failed and I tried." Couldn't you try a little bit harder? "But preacher, last year I only made it this far." Okay, then get a goal to make it just a little bit farther. See, the Bible talks here about Paul making it personal. He said, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. What we need to do in 2013 is say, God, here I am. Drawing a circle around myself, here I am. What do you want me to do? What do you want me to do? How can I do more? How can I be more faithful to church? How can I grow more in 2013 than I did in 2012? What can I do to turn it up? What can I do to be a better daddy? What can I do to be a better mama? What can I do to be a better young person? What can I do in my personal life? I'm more serious about it today than I was ever before. And God, I surrender. I press towards the mark.
Thank you for listening to the Parkside Baptist Church podcast. For more information about our church, you can visit us online at pbcmesquite.org. Or if you're ever in the Dallas, Texas area, we'd love to have you come visit our church.